Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial is just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. There was an article that I ran across early this morning in The Stream. It was written by Austin Ruse, and I'm tempted to read the whole article, although it would take way too much time, so I won't. But in this article titled Meet Lucy McHale, the Rosa Parks of Rosa Parks Middle School, Austin writes that Lucy McHale, well, she comes from a large family of faithful Catholics and is already something of a target for bullying at her school. And Lucy found out that there is a favored group, but she's not in the favored group. And things one day came to a head for Lucy during the spring of the year when the Montgomery County School Board mandated that the schools celebrate lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer pride during the month of June. And our school's answer to the order was enthusiastic, to say the least. It included a massive display case with pictures of heroes. Heroes like Ellen DeGeneres, Jazz Jennings, Caitlyn Jenner, Rachel Maddow, and many others. Well, Lucy McHale met with her principal and asked the principal if they could have a display case about the issue of abortion, or display case concerning the issue of traditional marriage. The principal responded by saying that pride display case was mandated by the Board of Education. So they set the rules as to what would be displayed and what would be celebrated. And the principal said they needed to make everyone feel included. Of course, Lucy's inclusion was entirely beside the point, or perhaps it was quite the point, because certain viewpoints, Christian viewpoints, are the enemy of the new zeitgeist. And it's interesting to consider, who is Rosa Parks at Rosa Parks Middle School? Is it the boys who demand homosexual kisses? And by the way, for the context of that, you'd have to read the entire article. Is it the indoctrinated kids who bully those who object? Is it the principal who does not allow competing voices? Of course, it is none of them. It is Lucy McHale, who refuses to sit in the back of the ideological bus. That's the new Rosa Parks. And if you're a Christian, you can identify with that. But we can curse the darkness or build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And one of the ways in which we build that lighthouse is to educate people, to get them to think as Christians, to get them used to thinking Christianly. Why? So that they can be salt and light in the midst of a collapsing culture. One of the books that I'm particularly delighted to be putting into your hands, making available to you, is titled Hope of the Nations, or Hope of Nations, more correctly, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World. And you can get a copy of that book as you support the ministry. Simply go to equip.org and give there in a safe, secure fashion, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. In this book, there are some very, very interesting facts. There's some very interesting information. I was reading in the book about how you would keep an evil robot from destroying the entire world. And in response to that question, actress Megan Fox said, well, I'd barter with him. And I'd say to the robot, instead of the entire planet, can you just take out all of the white trash, the hillbilly, anti-gay, super Bible-beating people in metal America? And this is not a unique sentiment. In other words, actress Megan Fox is not alone. This sentiment can be found at every leading edge of America culture today. We are now beginning to taste a culture in which a majority of influencers have been taught to reject and mock, to disdain the Christian Bible, to disdain the Ten Commandments, and to disdain the Christ who claims to be the way, the truth, and the life. Many who are mocking Christianity today are totally ignorant of the reality that the institutions, that the customs, that the values, that the wealth that they are inheriting is the fruit of a once Christianized society. And people will be confused when the machine of American and Western society stops running. And Dickerson, in this book, again, Hope of Nations, available, you can check it out on the web at equip.org, gives a great illustration. He says, consider the person who has never changed the oil in their car. They don't understand how an engine works. They don't know how to maintain an engine. They simply drive around and benefit from what others built. But they are neglecting its maintenance. I've heard of some reliable cars continuing to run for tens of thousands of miles beyond their scheduled oil change. But eventually the oil burns out or becomes so slogged with dirt that the engine seizes. And then that car will not be driving anywhere. And in many ways, the American economy and society are so well built, so well engineered, that they have continued operating even as their fundamentals are neglected and deconstructed. But eventually the machine will seize. And in the coming years, a populace that does not believe in an objective truth standard will struggle to enforce objective laws and policies. I mean, think back to the immense and rapid societal shifts, the shifts that overtook average life in Russia in 1917. Think about that. That's 100 years ago. Or Germany in the 1930s. Or China after World War II. Or Venezuela just recently. John Dickerson writes that, I believe American and European Christians have a window of opportunity right now, a window to prepare ourselves. We have a closing window of time during which we can prepare our families and prepare our Christian communities for the forthcoming ramifications of life in a post-truth society. And I believe we have a historic opportunity before us, an opportunity to share the hope of Christ as society continues to shake. Remember that Jesus Christ, the solid rock, outlasted the fall of the Roman Empire, the violent de-Christianization of France that was back in the 1700s. Jesus Christ has outlasted the Soviet Union. He has outlasted brutal attempts to annihilate Christianity in Red China, in the Middle East, in North Africa. Jesus Christ has promised that we who believe will also outlast these crumbling and disposable earthly kingdoms. We will rule with him in a kingdom that will outlast all other human empires. And therefore, again, I am so excited to put this book into your hand, because this is a book that will equip you to live well in times like this. You can live the adventure of this era, and you can do so with great purpose. You can know with confidence that the Creator of the universe has appointed you, yes, you, with your gifts to bring light and life to this moment in human history. You can be secure in understanding God's reason for placing you on this continent at this time among your people, and that for eternal purposes. So this is a book that, well, reads the signs of the times. And again, the illustration, I think, is very appropriate. You think about that car. I mean, I don't know how a car engine works. I turn the key. But if I don't maintain that car and use the car for the purposes for which it was made, that car will eventually seize up. And we're living from the fruits of a culture that was based on the Judeo-Christian tradition. But instead of being infatuated with our heritage, thankful for the heritage that we have been given, we are chopping at the very foundations of Western civilization. We, with our own axes, are destroying a civilization that is responsible for, well, for the relief organizations, for the hospitals, for the medical advances, for science. I'm not talking about scientism, but I'm talking about science. We are now hacking at the very root of a civilization that has spread the gospel around the world. And as I say many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. But you need to be informed. If you're a parent, you need to know what your children are being indoctrinated with. You need to talk to them. You need to have open lines of communication with them, because if you do not, they will drink the very Kool-Aid which will flip our culture in our own lifetimes. So again, we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. So why am I offering resources? Why do I look for these resources to make available to you? Well, yes, there's a sense in which I want to incentivize you to support this ministry. That's certainly true. But the real epic reason is to equip you. To equip you to be a change agent. In an era of information overload, I want you to be able to think deeply about the times in which we live. There's no sense in having a fatalistic attitude. We're called to be salt and light, and these resources will afford you the opportunity to understand, to think deeply about what's going on in our culture and what you can do in your own neck of the woods to make a difference for time and for eternity. I think Hope of the Nations is a, again, Hope of Nations, I shouldn't say of the nations, Hope of Nations is a tremendous resource to help you stand strong in a post-truth post-Christian world. We're no longer living in a post-modern world, to be real honest with you. We're living in a post-truth world. And John Dickerson has done a tremendous job, a tremendous service by letting us know exactly what's going on in this post-truth world and what we can do about it, how we can stand strong. Your copy available when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can check it out on the web at equip.org. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls live right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And thank you so much for all that stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It is important to understand the sources of our modern distaste for the teaching of the doctrine of hell, for they are part of the strongholds characteristic of our times. By critically exploring these sources, we can best instruct children in the essential biblical doctrine of hell and avoid an actual abuse of greater severity, which would be their being unaware of its reality. Other topics include Called to be Mere Ambassadors, The Story of God with Morgan Freeman, The Jesus of Mormonism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Thank you.
When did it become normal for us to expect news of another terror attack, mass shooting, or act of evil? We're not living through typical shifts in a stable society. The tectonic plates are rupturing beneath our civilization. John S. Dickerson wants to help you understand what is happening to our world and prepare you to live fearlessly for Jesus Christ. Together, we can live with unshakable purpose in a changing world. To receive Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World by John S. Dickerson, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the number to dial is mentioned earlier on in the broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go right to the phone lines and talk to Billy in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on WHVN. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Hank. I was wondering if you could explain Matthew 24:28, wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather.
Yeah, this is a passage which is known as the Olivet Discourse. And the Synoptic Gospels have a facsimile of this. So you find this in Mark and you find it in Luke. You also find it in the Gospel of John, but only through John's writing an expanded version in the book of Revelation. So the imagery, the apocalyptic imagery that you find in the Synoptic Gospels and by John in the book of Revelation are understood by correlation to Old Testament passages. And what is in view in Matthew 24 is the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And I talked about this on yesterday's broadcast. So Jesus is leaving the temple. He has just declared Ichabod on the temple because he was the new temple. He was the temple in their midst, and they wanted to continue on with temple, priest, and sacrifice as opposed to receiving Messiah in their midst. It was very clear that he was the only one who could walk through the doorway of the Old Testament prophecies. And so when he has declared Ichabod on the temple, the disciples are wanting to know, well, when is his judgment on the temple going to take place? And Jesus, of course, lets them know that all of this will take place within a generation. And the imagery that he uses, including the imagery that you mentioned, so if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it, for as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And then he continues by saying, wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. And then he says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Well, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you immediately recognize those words. By the way, John uses those words in Revelation chapter 6, but you immediately recognize those words because those are apocalyptic words that are taken directly from the mouths of the Old Testament prophets. For example, if you look at Isaiah chapter 13, you see those very words being used when the Medes and the Persians are going to come and put out the glories of the Babylonian Empire. Likewise, Jesus, now the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets, and a better prophet than them all, he's the quintessence of the prophets, he's now using this language, this apocalyptic language, and he's using it to refer to what is going to happen when Jerusalem is destroyed. And as I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, there was an Old Testament Antichrist. And so there will be a New Testament Antichrist, and that New Testament Antichrist, known as the Beast in John's Apocalypse, will be responsible for destroying the temple and for destroying Jerusalem. Now, I've written about the details of all of this and where you can find the apocalyptic references in the Old Testament in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Scotty in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Scotty.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Yeah, I have. I would like a little bit of clarity regarding salvation. I have a huge respect for Justin Peters and John MacArthur, and I've watched some of their videos regarding the NAR and the Pentecostal, or I should say the charismatic movement. And they've made some statements like, these people aren't saved. And I'm wondering, what's your take on that? And what about salvation for maybe some of the more unorthodox perspectives of Jesus Christ?
Well, look, I think that the issue is the essentials of the historic Christian faith. They are the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. And that's why we say at the Christian Research Institute, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. So where the counterfeit revivalists deny essential Christian doctrine, they're separating themselves from the historic Christian faith, very much like Mormons would, or like Muslims would, or Jehovah's Witnesses would. The line of demarcation is always the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And in some cases, certainly the counterfeit revivalist preachers and churches, they transgress that line of demarcation. And as a result of this, I actually wrote a book called Counterfeit Revival. That book is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. So I make a contrast between genuine revival and counterfeit revival, but in the process also demonstrate how in many cases these counterfeit revivalists are presenting a counterfeit Christ, a Christ very different from the Christ of the historic Christian faith or the Christ of the Bible.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, there's a lot of people who are following some of the teachings of these leaders, and I'm just wondering about your perspective of judging the salvation of those who are following. And the reason that I kind of started really pondering this is that I heard John MacArthur's comments on a radio personality who has joined the Greek Orthodox Church, and then I heard a very graceful response to that, and that there was some misinterpretation, and I understand that perspective, but it's more about a leader in Christendom, I guess, or in our faith, making a judgment call on the followers of others who may not even be exposed to the truth and the genuine gospel.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's important here is that we get our facts straight, right? So when you talk about John MacArthur's response to me, I did a response, and I tried to do it in a very collegial fashion because I do appreciate John and his ministry over the years, but he simply was wrong about what he was communicating. And I pointed that out. I pointed that out not only from the standpoint of history, but I also pointed it out from the standpoint of biblical theology. Now, again, I think that I don't know all that John has said with respect to counterfeit revivalists, so I can't really comment on that. I can only comment on what I've written in Counterfeit Revival. But in that case, look, if someone is following the teachings of Joseph Smith, they're following a different Jesus and a different gospel. And it is true that in many cases, counterfeit revivalists are preaching a different Jesus and a different gospel. In fact, in many cases, the Jesus Christ that they are proclaiming is simply presented as a means to a person's end. In other words, turn on to Jesus Christ, and you'll have a palace like the Taj Mahal. Turn on to Jesus Christ, you'll have a Rolls Royce in your driveway. So Jesus becomes not the end of our desires. Fellowship in the Trinity doesn't become the end of our desires, but rather we're invited to the Master's table for what is on the Master's table, as opposed to fellowship with the Master. And that is presenting really a Christianized version of New Thought metaphysics. So it's presented in palpable language, but it is it's a different gospel and oftentimes a different Jesus Christ. But can I judge the individual people? No. I'm sure that there are people in many constructs that are saved in spite of their teachers. In other words, they are genuinely believing in Jesus Christ. They're genuinely friends of God, and they genuinely wish to follow Jesus Christ. And as I've said on this broadcast, it is not the absence of truth that damns. What it is ultimately is the despising of truth that damns. And with birth must come growth, which is to say that if you are a believer, you must continue to grow. You must partake of the means of grace that God has given to us to partake of. I've quoted Vladimir Lasky on this broadcast many times because it happens to be one of my favorite quotes. It so well communicates the essence of what we need to engage in as people that can partake of a spiritual gymnasium. In other words, people who don't just make a transaction with God and become a baptized secular humanist, but people who, within the context of the church, partake of graces whereby they can experience union or fellowship with God. And to that extent, Vladimir Lasky says that the history of the human race is a history of shipwreck awaiting rescue. But the port of salvation is not the goal. The goal is for the rescued, those who are saved. It is the goal for those shipwrecked who are rescued to continue on a journey whose sole goal is union with God. And we never do that in isolation. We do that within the context of the church, where we partake of the graces and the spiritual disciplines, which are transformative, by which we can become, as Peter put it, partakers of the divine nature. So I think that we are being sold a bill of goods by many of the counterfeit revivalists. And I did primary research on this when the Toronto Blessing, the Pensacola revival broke out. And I, again, wrote about the difference between genuine revival and the counterfeit version of revival. And you can check that out, as I mentioned earlier, on the web at equip.org. Coming to a station break, on the other side of the break, we'll be back with a quote of the day as well as more answers to your questions. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And I do want to mention that you can join CRI's monthly support team. And when you do that, I'd be pleased to personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition to you, to a family member, or a friend. Go to the web at equip.org and please prayerfully consider joining CRI's monthly support team. Of course, you can also do that via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back.
Morgan Freeman's personal beliefs, such as the New Age quasi-pantheist doctrine that every human being is God, are not as well known as his Hollywood brand. But his series, The Story of God with Morgan Freeman, illustrates trends prevalent in today's culture. An interesting combination of scientism and anti-intellectualism. Be sure to read Professor John McAteer's article, The Story of Morgan Freeman, Not God, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A major reason mindfulness has been successfully mainstreamed is that we are so overstimulated and chronically busy. Because mindfulness has entrenched itself in American culture, Christians need to investigate it thoroughly in order to determine whether it is friend or foe. Other topics include the Jesus of Mormonism, the philosophy of atheist Bertrand Russell, how does the human soul come into existence, the story of Morgan Freeman, not God, is it abusive to teach children about hell, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. There is no denying it. We live in a post-truth, post-Christian world. But do not despair. Noting that times of great social upheaval are times of great spiritual opportunity, John S. Dickerson writes, "You can live the adventure of this era with great purpose. You can know with confidence that the Creator of this universe has appointed you with your gifts to bring light and life to this moment in human history." To receive Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World by John S. Dickerson, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from John S. Dickerson. And it's included in the book, Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World, where John Dickerson writes, "The professor swinging his axe at the foundations of his own university offers a small picture of what is happening on a national level in America. Incoming generations that have inherited great wealth now criticize and deride the predecessors who passed it down. We eat from fields we did not cultivate. We enjoy courts and economies we have not founded. And we are trained to have contempt for those who labored to create what we now freely inherit and enjoy. The people who are the most free, the most prosperous, the most healthy in world history as a result of Christian ideas, are now in a position of either ignoring these Christian ideas, mocking them, or labeling them as dangerous, ignorant, and backward. Again, from the book Hope of Nations, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Nathaniel in Peoria, Illinois, listening on WVEL. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, good. My question is, of course, you know that King James Bible is only 400 and something years old. And then before that one, to my knowledge, is the Bishop's Bible. So each Bible, there's a different translation or transliteration from different Bibles all the way up to the Hinsdale or what have you. My question to you today is, even in that Bible, that King James, and we got that J-E-S-U-S in there, but when I looked at the Bible before that, that's not what was in there. So my question to you then, how did they translate Yeshua down to the J-E-S-U-S if the alphabets was different? And my question then would be, where did the J-E-S-U-S come from in particular, those particular letters, when it doesn't translate over to the Hebrew? Can you explain that for me, please?
Sure, yes. And remember, just as a overall comment about Bible translations, we're not claiming inspiration for the translations. What we're claiming is inspiration for the autographs, and the translations are good facsimiles of the autographs. So there's in biblical theology, we know of the science of textual criticism. And so you have many, many manuscripts, and you compare one manuscript with another. And all manuscripts have some errors in them. But by comparing manuscripts with manuscripts, you can get back to the autographa because they don't have the same errors in them. And so we are very, very fortunate to live in an epoch of time in which we have fantastic translations that we can trust as being authentic with respect to the autographs that they represent. But in answer to your specific question, the New Testament is written in the Greek language, and thus the Hebrew Yeshua is appropriately rendered Iesus in the Greek, and of course, Jesus in the English. And this is because the Greek renders the Hebrew Y as an I, and the English renders the Greek I or iota as J. And thus the notion that the Hebrew Yehoshua or its contraction, Yeshua, is the only proper means of identifying the one who we hold to be Messiah is tragically mistaken. We can be very, very happy with the J-E-S-U-S in English. Again, that is the way it works. You have the New Testament written in Greek, and then the Hebrew Yeshua, appropriately rendered Iesus in the Greek, and of course, Jesus in the English. And as I mentioned, it is because the Greek renders the Hebrew Y as an I, and the English renders the Greek I as a J. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Cheryl. She's listening in Littlefield, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm a third-time caller over the years, but I have a question. I started watching a documentary called A Lamp in the Dark, The Untold History of the Bible, and I know it came out in 2010, but it really got me to questioning a lot of the things that I've just always been told was correct, and now I'm questioning some of that, and I was just wondering if you'd ever seen it and what your take is on this.
Well, I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it, except I know about the director, Chris Pinto, who lends far too much credibility to conspiracy theories. So I would be very, very skeptical of the documentary. But again, I haven't watched it. I understand that it is heavily critical of Roman Catholic Church and it does imbibe conspiracy theories in this regard. But I'd have to watch the documentary to give you a better evaluation of it.
Well, that's where some of my questions came from, because it talks about how the Bible had been translated over the years and how the influence of the Roman Catholic Church had tried to control some of the translations. The Jesuit priests had gotten involved in some of that. But then they got into talking along the lines of, you know, the true Hebrew translations and trying to keep it pure as far as how they were translating it into the King James Version of what we have today. But then they kind of went into the history of the Roman Catholic Church and how it came out of the Roman Catholic or the Roman deity and with St. Constantine and just a lot of history involved in all of this. But then I was just curious how factual this whole documentary was.
Well, I can tell you from your characterization that it's just nonsense and unfortunate nonsense. And let me, without being able to comment on the details, let me just say that the wisdom of God is evident in the way in which he protected the text from the one thing we centuries or millennia later could never detect, and that is the wholesale change of doctrine or theology by any particular person or group who had full control over the text at any point in time in history. I mean, that's one of the great things we can say about the Bible. The New Testament books were written at various times, and then, of course, they were quickly copied. They're distributed as soon as they were written, and there never was a time for this conspiracy theory to take place. In other words, there never was a time when anyone or any group could gather up the manuscripts and make extensive changes to the text, like cutting out the deity of Jesus Christ or inserting some foreign doctrine or concept into the text. But by the time anyone did obtain ecclesiastical power in the name of Christianity, the texts were long since buried in the sands of places like Egypt and out of the reach of any attempted alteration. And I wrote about this again in a book called Has God Spoken, if you want all the details. But in brief, if we had an identifiable autograph, the material, paper, and ink would likely replace God as the object of our worship. And then you'd have the rancor of control. And that would be something that would be hard to imagine. So we instead have something so wonderful. We have complete assurance that we don't have to worship some autograph that came down from Mount Sinai, hot off the place. We have something better. The autographs are forever memorialized within a supernaturally preserved corpus of manuscripts. I was describing that to an earlier caller. So instead of having less than the autographs, we have far more. What we have is a treasure trove of manuscripts. We have an excess, and I'm not just talking about the New Testament, we have an excess of 5,660 manuscripts of the New Testament, which have been uncovered. And as a result of that, you know, you have the science of textual criticism that I was talking about earlier, where you can test one manuscript with another, and you can get back to the original or the autographa. And whether it's the King James Version or whether it is the New King James Version or the NIV or the NASB, they're all fantastic translations of the biblical text. Again, written about this in some detail in Has God Spoken, but in the way that you've characterized this particular documentary, I wouldn't trust it a whole lot. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Brian in Dallas, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Hank, good to talk to you. First time caller.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Hey, if you could answer for me, I'm trying to understand the concept or the idea of dinosaurs in God's story of creation. If you can talk to me about that.
Yeah, sure. Well, God created everything. You know, God created angels, and God created all of humanity. God created all that there is, and so God created the dinosaurs. According to the fossil record itself, we can find out about dinosaurs because you don't find a history of dinosaurs in the Bible. The Bible's not intended to give us a history of dinosaurs, so again, you have to look at the book of nature to find out about dinosaurs. What we seem to have discerned from the fossil record is that dinosaurs first appeared during the Triassic period, and the last dinosaurs died out maybe 65 million years ago. And so dinosaurs roamed the earth long before human beings. And again, a lot of people find this very difficult to understand because they look at the creation account in Genesis, and what they want to do is they want to develop some kind of hierarchy, or I would say chronology instead of a hierarchy. And what you have in the Genesis account is a way to remember God's creative prowess during the normal course of everyday living. Moses developed it in that way so we would not only hear, but we would also remember. In my Creation Answer book, I have some lengthy entries on dinosaurs. You can read about that again in the Creation Answer book. Not enough time to fill in the details on this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but again, check out the Creation Answer book. And thank you to everyone who stands shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It is important to understand the sources of our modern distaste for the teaching of the doctrine of hell, for they are part of the strongholds characteristic of our times. By critically exploring these sources, we can best instruct children in the essential biblical doctrine of hell and avoid an actual abuse of greater severity, which would be their being unaware of its reality. Other topics include Called to be Mere Ambassadors, The Story of God with Morgan Freeman, The Jesus of Mormonism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.